Just the news, according to me. Well. It's a fine day. I've received some interesting information. I'm going to try to jump right into this today after I talk a little bit about our sponsor. There you go. That's all I'm going to talk about our sponsor, because there is no sponsor. I'm drinking some. For those of you who care, this is just a moment for those who care. I'm drinking chai tea this morning with some. I can't remember what kind of creamer it is. I can't remember if it's Cinnabon or if it's something else. I can't remember what it is. I'm having a JoJo moment. I know I put some in there. I just don't know what it is. It's something, some kind of creamer. Makes it oh so yummy. This is a creamy chai, by the way, not a spiced chai. For those who care. Okay, on to the next segment. I've been listening to, there's a fellow on YouTube, and I'm going to give him a plug here, because, you know, I'm sure it's going to increase his popularity immensely. The poor guy is struggling. I think he only has a couple million followers. So this will really help to boost his, it'll boost his ego, but it'll also boost his, standing in the world. He'll feel much more prestigious, and I'm sure he'll get a lot more hits now because he's got, you know, me plugging him. Now I suppose I have to sign into YouTube now. What's going on with this? I can probably just pull it up on my phone a lot, 10 times faster than. So that's what I will do. I will pull it up on my phone. By the way, I was going to video record last night's segment, and I did not do that. So I'm going to do that this afternoon, because this afternoon I will be able to complete the process of doing all this stuff. Let's see if I can find this guy here. I was just playing it. Yes, here it is. Robert Grueler, ESQ. I'm not sure what the ESQ, I don't know what that stands for. I think his thing is, his channel is not called this, but I think he has another channel, or he has like a show or something he does that's called, what is going on with this? Why is this happening? I don't understand. Okay, this is very strange. I'll just do this. See what happens. There it goes. Okay, so this guy's name is Robert Grueler. Yes, good. His channel, I think he has like a show or a podcast of some kind, or like a live presentation of some kind. It's called Watching the Watchers. And I think for the most, he's a criminal prosecution, possibly a defense attorney. Criminal defense attorney, I think. So we're, I just happened to notice that, that I have a phone call coming in, but it's nothing to do with you guys. So I am going to, of course I'm going to blow them off, because you're more important. My audience here is more important. I think it was just the person who does my taxes probably telling me that I owe them $1 million. So I'm not going to pay any attention to them. I've got some interesting news that is very disturbing to me. And this is now also getting to the point of being, I'm quite alarmed. And to say that I'm frightened, I hate to use that term. It's shocking, and it's alarming, and it's very disconcerting to me as to what has happened and what has happened with regard to the Capitol on January 6th, and those who are being charged with crimes related to that whole thing. And so I'm a little bit disturbed and perturbed and mad and shocked and alarmed and all those disconcerted, all those big words. I'm not scared, because this is not about fear. It takes a lot to scare me. I mean, there's that whole, you know, I mean, if you jump around the corner and say, boo, I probably, you know, that might be shocking and I might jump out of my seat. I don't know. Probably not. I'm not really wired that tight, but you might get shot. But other than that, you know, I mean, I don't know. No, that wouldn't happen. Probably just get punched or kicked in the head. And I would say, I'm sorry, and take you to the hospital and treat you well, you know, say, you know, you kind of deserved it for doing that to me. So, but I don't know. Here's what I don't know. Well, there's a big, long list of things I don't know. So I probably shouldn't go there. But I just saw a picture of a church. Oh, geez. Church, a great big church here with a, or what used to be a stained glass window with a picture of Jesus in it. Now has a big picture of someone who, this is on the outside of the church. Great big, it's probably 10 by 20. 10 foot by 20 foot. Which is about 3 meters by 7 meters for those of you in other countries. And it's a picture of an individual who's who died at the hands of police. Susan, now there's a big trial going on about it. I'm not going to say the name. But I'm just going to say that's, I wouldn't exactly say he should be worshipped or he should be a part of our, he's not, he doesn't, this is part of the problem here, folks. We elevate someone to the point of saying that you've killed. Well, maybe they can go there because this is how they get around this. When you start using religious and the scripture and things that Jesus said and things that he taught to further a political agenda, whether you're on the right or the left, I start putting the brakes on. When it's issues of morality and issues of, you know, individual liberties and freedoms, those are based on biblical principles. And we can spell those out and I can draw lines and conclusions and draw, you know, dots and everything else. Now, granted, Jesus did say, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. This probably is way out of context. Who would you consider the least of these in this particular situation? Right now, there's an individual who is on trial who has yet to be convicted. And in a highly politically charged trial, if you think that this is going to be a fair trial, you are insane. Because if you have already decided the outcome of this trial, then it's not a fair trial. It's not going to be a fair trial. And I'm sure that there's, you know, probably 90% of the population out there has already decided what, you know, with this that this guy's guilty and he should go to jail. He's a criminal. You wouldn't qualify as a juror. What if you, I'm not saying the guy's innocent. I'm not saying that because I don't know. I'm not saying he's guilty because I don't know. Yeah, I saw the video. I don't know. I wasn't there. There were two different pictures, two different video angles of something recently shown where they showed a video that looked like he had a full pressure on this guy's back with his knee. The other camera angle showed that his knee wasn't even touching his back. It wasn't even touching it. at the same exact synchronized time. But the camera angle made it look like his knee was in his back. Now, I'm not saying his knee wasn't in his back, because it definitely was. It was on the base of his neck, between his shoulder blades. No question about that. Because there's other obvious video of that. At least from that angle, it sure looked like it. However, they played some other video that showed that it wasn't. So you have to be very, very careful. Because what it boils down to, and I keep saying this, what it boils down to in this case is whether or not the cause of death was this officer having his knee in this guy, on this guy's neck. Is that what caused his death? Did it contribute to his death? Did it have anything to do with his death? If they would have just left him there and not touched him at all. Now that they're saying, well, the EMTs showed up and they didn't even treat him until they got out of the area. Yeah, because there was a ruckus crowd there. This is on top of everything that's going on, you've got people yelling at you and screaming at you. It almost perpetuates the problem. You're just a couple of officers there, three or four officers that are there in the midst of this crowd that's forming about what's going on. And you've got to, it's like they were initially given the orders, or basically what the process, the mission goal was, it was called a grab and go. We go in, we get this guy, get him out of that area because it's not a safe area to try to conduct an investigation. So they were going to go in, get him out, and then deal with the $20 bill fraudulent thing. And that's when it got chaotic and everything started kind of falling apart. I did not realize that Chauvin was a little tiny guy. Apparently he's like 140 pounds. With all of his gear on, everything he owns, and his uniform and shoes and everything, probably maybe 170. They say that they carry about 30 pounds of stuff. I'm not a big man. But I do have some parts of my body that are bigger than I'd like for them to be, and other parts that I, have atrophied a little bit in my years. Yeah, I got to get to the gym, okay? I get it. But let's just say if I had that much equipment on with my little 5'9 frame, I would probably weigh 200 pounds. That's considerably a lot more than this guy. I don't know if you've seen pictures of Mr. Floyd. He's no small man. Now, does that justify everything that was going on? No, it doesn't. But I'm just saying, this, for what it's worth, this is, this is a tough situation. I'm not crying, don't worry. I'm just choking on my chai here. It's a tough situation, very tough situation. And I would not want to be one of the jurors. Because I have no, I would like to think I could look at this with a fair and balanced viewpoint. And take an objective opinion about everything that's going on. Because it's an important case. But this guy is basically being made out to be the scapegoat. He's being made out to be the one that shall be crucified for George, just for the sake of this political statement that we're trying to make. And I'm not saying, he shouldn't get any punishment either, because I don't know. I don't know. Well, my guess is, yeah, he probably should get some kind of. He certainly should not be a police officer anymore. I'll go there. I'll give you that much. Because, frankly, He was trying to do his job well. Of course, now there's listening to this Grueler guy, he went through a very good analysis of both the offense and the defense in this case, and so far, as of yesterday anyway. And it was very interesting, some of the things that were coming out yesterday. And his perspective on how the legal system works, especially with those regarding the police themselves. Police protect themselves. If they throw you out of that ring of protection, you are in big trouble. Now you are a liability to the department, and they will do everything they can to defend themselves from you. It's not easy for them, but they will do it. They have to. So, anyway. Yeah, so there's that. I'm not going to get too deep into that. I've already gotten much deeper into that than I would like to, and a lot of things I would like to explain about my attitudes and opinions there, but I'm not sure I'm not going to go there. So we have the thing that's really disturbing to me and alarming and shocking and disconcerting is this this issue that we have with the Capitol riot, calling it the Capitol insurrection, whatever you want to call it. There are people, and I did not realize this until today. I did not know this was even going on. It's not in the news. Nobody's saying anything about it. I guarantee you, if this would have been a little different situation, the roles would have been reversed. This would have been all over the news. This would have been a terrible thing. And we would be hearing about it, and there'd be riots in the street. There is an individual who apparently went into the Capitol building on the 6th. And I guess he was pretty charged up, pretty upset about things. I get it. I understand. Things got out of hand. Apparently, he is in jail. A lot of these guys are in jail without parole because they're a security risk. There's a 50-some-year-old grandmother that's in jail right now. I believe she's in jail right now. The initial court was going to let her out on just basically because she was only charged with trespassing. And now they are some other higher court came in and said, no, you can't. Can't let her do that. Can't let her walk around out there because she might, start another insurrection. So, or participate in some kind of protest. So we have to, or trespass again somewhere. So we have to keep her in jail. So they put her back in jail. And she surrendered on her own, by the way. She was calling the FBI almost every day, returning their calls, and they were talking to her. And then finally they found out that there was a warrant for her arrest, and she came in. She surrendered on her own cognition, on her own parition, on her own whatever it is, all by herself, all by her little lonesome. She surrendered. And so she's in jail, along with, I think, her son possibly and some other people. There's several people in jail. Well, this one guy who is in a Capitol police jail, I guess. These are Capitol guards at the jail, I guess. I'm not sure if it's just a DC jail or if it's what it is. For those of you who don't know this, Washington DC is not a part of a state. It's kind of part of Virginia, but it's not. It's not. It's its own little entity there. It's not considered a state. Now they're going to try to make DC a state because that way they can get another congressman and another. Well, I think they do have a congressman now. They do have. They actually are able to vote now as a congressman person. And they want to get a senator or two senators. They would get two senators because it'd be their own state. I say just make them part of Virginia. Except for the Capitol grounds that make that federal land, whatever. So we have this issue of these people in prison. Well, apparently there is at least one individual who has been beaten to within an inch of his life treated very poorly, had his hands zip-tied behind his back, and beaten unconscious, now is having convulsions. And there's not a word about it. This guy had bruises on his head for like 2 weeks after this happened. Nothing's being said. Nothing's being done. The cause of death now has come out on all of the other officers that have been, that died during this whole thing and even after this thing. All the individuals who died that day, basically, we're talking about. The only one that is still, the verdict is still out on the cause of death, which is being hidden by, why wouldn't they say it? Why wouldn't they come out and say it if they knew? If it was something to do with someone getting hit in the head by the, with a fire extinguisher. Because the cause of death was basically a stroke. That's what we're understanding at this point, but let's say he suffered from a stroke. They're saying he suffered from a stroke, but they're not saying what the cause of death is. Now, keep in mind, he died several days later. He collapsed that night after returning back to the precinct. So this guy who lays in state to make a political statement, which I think was absolutely disgusting, they're using this man as a pawn. And sadly enough, this guy was a Trump supporter. I would have risen up from the grave and said something. Maybe. I don't know. That's how mad I would have been. But these people are going to do what they're going to do because, again, the end justifies the means. So we're in this situation now where we have these people are being beaten, and, of course, they deserve it, according to the leftists. This is something that happens in communism, in communist countries. Welcome to the communist United States now, where you go to prison, you get beaten by the guards. You haven't been charged with anything yet. Your trial hasn't happened yet. They're just detaining you. This is pathetic and sickening. You know, the presumption of innocence until proven guilty, and this idea that we can hold people because they present a national security threat. Tell me exactly how our democracy would have been, if these people would have been successful in doing whatever it was they were going to do, how would this have been a threat to our democracy? No, it was a threat to those who are in charge. See, this is where it gets scary. It's one thing to have a political class that is in charge, and it's one thing to have. I'm all for law and order. Don't get me wrong. I think 99% of Trump supporters are all for law and order. They support the police. They support the military. They don't want to see them abused and defunded and all those things. They want to see they want to see them be able to do their jobs properly, properly trained and properly be able to do their jobs. And I think that's where, you know, 90, more than 90% of the Trump supporters are. Even those who went into the Capitol that day. But you turn around and you have individuals who, oh, it's just a mess. You have individuals who are, you know, want to defund the police, the enemies of the state. They're until they need protection, then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, you know, our officers were. But how would this have changed anything? So these guys would have busted in and possibly arrested, you know, Nancy Pelosi. Let's say that would have happened. So what? Where do you think that would have gone? if they'd have gotten away with anything like that. Does that really, is that a threat to our democracy? Because the people who are in charge seem to think that they're the only ones worth protecting. It becomes really scary when the people in power start to circle the wagons and protect themselves from the laws that they make. They can impose them on us, but they are above them. And that, my friends, is a dangerous position for us to be in. What other option do we have? I mean, there were some statements that this guy made, and there's some statements that have been made by people that were there that day, that people that were all upset with what was going on. What every other avenue we've had has been taken away from us. Talk about a threat to our democracy. You know, the very thing that is supposed to protect us, the individual liberties, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our Supreme Court that's supposed to be there to try these things, is just simply flat not hearing it. Not participating. Just allowing it to just be just whatever happens. All because of laws that they changed to rig the system, to overwhelm the system. We all know what happened there. And why are they fighting tooth and nail, threatening big businesses and big business, and also big businesses that are threatening states? Now, for those of you who've been paying attention, the whole Georgia law thing. Okay, so the MLB moves their All-Star game, whatever it is. I don't pay attention to sports stuff. They move their big game out of Atlanta, estimating about $100 million in peripheral sales to businesses in that area, an area that is 51% African American, and has a lot of African American owned businesses. They move that game out of Atlanta, move it to Denver. That's about 11% African-American, that has basically the same laws that Georgia does. In fact, more restrictive laws than Georgia does. They have voter ID. They have less time to vote. They also have the electioneering laws where you can't pass out, people from organizations can't pass out any kind of material, whether it's water or paraphernalia, within 150 feet of the building, the voting booth. So what exactly did you accomplish there, Bubba? Other than you just made some kind of big statement and ran it in the ground. And of course, now they're talking about pulling the PGA out of Georgia as well. And of course, Biden kind of backed out on that one. He said, well, you know, there's also businesses there. Well, you know, they need to do what they're supposed to do. Whatever they feel like they need to do, that's what they need to do. But, you know, they need to smarten up. They need to smarten up there in Georgia. In the meantime, Congress is trying to push these ridiculous laws, make federalizing our elections, which is never, that's not constitutional at all, making it mandatory that there cannot be any voter ID, that mail-in balloting, basically that every single person in the country will get a mail-in ballot. They will pass out about 275 million mail-in ballots, which gives them, you know, carte blanche to do whatever they want with those. We had the largest turnout ever, supposedly, here in the country. It ended up being, I think, about, 156 million, probably 155 million, something like that, voters. And now they're talking about passing out 280 million ballots. Well, there's, yeah. And making ballot harvesting allowed in all states. It's almost a requirement, basically, the way they put it in there. That you have to put ballots in boxes in lobbies of housing. It's absolutely insanity. And now we have these guys being abused in prison that shouldn't even be in prison. They shouldn't be in prison. They should go to trial and they should have it done. But this is going to be a political football here in the near future. You're going to see that happen again. So you got the George Floyd Chauvin trial. You got that coming to a head. Now today's going to be an interesting day with that whole trial because they're going to be going more into the defense. Basically, is going to start putting forth the whole issue of cause of death. And that is really in my opinion, that's at the crux of the whole issue here. Because I think the most that could possibly be here is manslaughter. It was an accidental death, in my opinion. I don't think he set out to kill the guy. I don't think he had death intent. He did not intend to kill George Floyd. I just show me how do you figure that? Now, was he reckless? Yes. Was he, you know, however, I made it very clear that the techniques he was using were in the book. Should he use those techniques? No. Maybe initially that would have been fine to for the first 30 seconds to make sure the guy was under control. And just, you know, but once you got the guy in cuffs, I'm sorry, there's and he's on the ground, he's in cuffs. That you're in a very different situation. I used to teach this kind of thing to police officers back in the 80s. And it was very, you know, we had to be very clear about what was usable, what kind of force was usable and what wasn't. And he went way beyond that. So he's not off the hook here, from what I can tell. Again, I wasn't there. I'm not a juror. I'm not listening to all the testimony. I'm not an expert witness. I'm just saying, from what I can tell, from my objective opinion of the situation, this is my conclusion. So, having said all of that, our criminal justice system is on the verge of falling apart. China, again, is poised and ready to attack Taiwan. China is also putting Christians in brainwashing camps. They're calling them windowless containment centers, where they're basically being reprogrammed, supposedly. However that works. That's a very serious issue, too, because, Russia is poised now to press into the Ukraine. They have been for a long time. They've always been kind of ready to do that. It is very obvious they have stepped up their ability to do that at the moment. So this is very, potentially very volatile situation as well. Now, it'd be interesting to see what happens with North Korea in the midst of all this. But I don't know. It's just a very volatile situation. I'll have to see what happens here. So, serious stuff in the world going on. Serious stuff. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that the general population of our country is droning along. And this is, I'm talking about believers, church people. Are just going along with this. You know, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, one of the shows, I can't remember which one, about the African American community or black community, people of color, whatever you want to call them. I'm only saying that because I don't know what the politically correct thing to say is anymore. It's become confusing to me. People who look just like me, but their skin is darker than mine. Okay, just there you go. They have a nose and two eyes and ears. They have a heart. They bleed red blood. But their skin is darker than mine. So that, there you go. Those people that have, you know, the church, the people in the church, I consider them my brothers and sisters because they're believers. They're truly believers that they believe, you know, sound doctrinal stuff. Then they are brothers in the faith, brothers and sisters in the faith. Otherwise, if you're a human, you're a brother and sister, you know, just as a human being, you're part of my tribe, I guess, in some ways, as the greater tribe. So we have this community there. And I think you've heard this say, as the church goes, so goes the world. I think in recent years, at least in the last 20 years, as I've seen it, 30 years, as the world goes, so goes the church. I've seen the world basically go down a direction that the churches seem to just follow right along. Like a pig with a nose ring. Like a pig with a nose ring. That's what you're supposed to say, that, I guess. So we have a situation now where the church really should be having the impact and the influence. We should be the salt and light. Salt changes the flavor of whatever it's added to. Light brings truth and illumination to the world around us. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, salt of the world. That salt has lost its savor. It's not good for anything. If the church is not influencing and impacting the world around it, then we're just become a part of it. And I'm afraid that we have gone down that slope. We're just doing our thing. I guess today at some point, it might be even while I'm recording this. I'm recording this on Thursday, April 8th at 11. Well, right now it's 11:30. But I believe that Biden is going to be, and may have already done it because it looks like I just had something come across my little screen here. It says that Biden announces 6 executive actions on guns, including ghost gun regulation, model red flag legislation. So we have the ghost gun thing. I'm not sure what he's talking about there, other than just like guns that don't have registrations, or maybe guns that are bought at gun shows. I don't know what that's about. The red flag legislation is when you suspect someone of being nutty, being crazy, you have this the right to go in and take their guns away, and then go, you know, figure out whether or not they're okay or not. You know, so you have to, like, a preemptive strike. It's pre-crime. And there's some validity to some of this, but you better have some kind of evidence of something other than just somebody saying something. And that's where the Dems are going to take this. All you have to do is one report. Somebody says, oh, that guy's got guns, and I heard him say something about, you know, whatever. He said he didn't agree with the election results, so we're going to go in and take his guns away because we don't know what he's going to do. And we'll keep his guns for a while, and then when we figure out that he's innocent, we'll oops, we lost your guns, sorry, here's $10. Or maybe you should take us to court and try to get your money back for that for the next 50 years till you're dead. That's the kind of thing we're in for here. This is old tactics made anew, and this is the kind of thing that we're looking at. And it's this kind of draconian stuff that we're facing that I'm afraid is headed for us very quickly. So we have, what was I talking about before that? I don't even remember. You know, the whole thing with Russia and China and legal system and race. Oh, yeah, it's just him. So as the church goes, so goes the world. And if we have a church group that is pushing the actual things that Jesus taught, which is forgiveness, above and beyond, more than vengeance, forgiveness over vengeance. Because right now we have this weird set of strange Puritan faux synthetic morality being imposed upon the country. And I don't know how to explain this, but you see all of these things becoming protected classes. okay, this is now a protected class. That's a protected class. If you have, you know, if you have this, you're a protected class. If you have that, you're a protected class. Anything that is not a white, European, Caucasian man. Straight man, I should say. Then you are now, you are not a protected class. So eventually, everyone but that becomes a protected class. So who is unprotected now? Who is standing there with a page in the Constitution that says, I'm supposed to have rights and liberties, but you don't have any rights or liberties because everyone else is protected? If someone from that protected class does something to you, you can't protect yourself because you're a protected class. That's where we're going with this. It's becoming quite the issue. Rather than just having individual liberties and everyone standing up for the rights of every individual, regardless of race, color, creed, we're, all of a sudden now we're protecting groups of individuals, which is a divide and conquer, tactic, which is in, also in the Rules for Radicals and some of the other things that are, that's the social, in, the Rules for Radicals book from Alinsky is the social part of the Marxist leftist system. Cloward and Piven is the financial part of it. And there's some other books out there as well that are, effectively, I think, Mark Levin recently had a good show where he held up like 10 or 15 books that the left uses as their manuals. And he said, you should read every single one of these. You'll understand exactly what they're doing. And it's true. It is exactly the road they're going down. Now, whether or not they mean to or not, I don't know. But it is part of the, because really what we're in here is a spiritual battle. And then that's what it boils down to. And I don't hear people talk about that a whole lot. We tend to get involved in the trenches a lot of times of physically trying to change things. And I think that we need to really realize that we need to lead this battle with a spiritual understanding. Because we are really in a spiritual battle. When you see things that seem to be almost, you know, coordinated between different groups, all attacking at the same time or moving in position and doing the same things, that's where the conspiracy theories start to pop up and say, well, they're all talking to each other. They're all listening. They're all doing this. They're doing this. And it's all they. We don't know who they are, but they're all the theys out there are doing this and doing that. And they want to do this and they want to do that. Well, it's, you know, behind the scenes, they're not necessarily talking to each other, but there's the similar spirit that's moving in the hearts of these people. And I could get more into that. I do get more into that as I'm writing a book called The Conspiracy. I've been writing it for a long time, off and on. I really need to finish it this year because I think it's going to be, it really would have been a great book to have out there right now because I think it would explain a lot of what's going on to the church. And I think that I'm really looking forward to putting it out there. And with my other podcast that will soon be launched here within the next couple of weeks, by the end of the month, you'll have there'll be another podcast. It'll be called The Conspiracy with a question mark. And I'll be talking about different kinds of conspiracies and that kind of thing. But the whole thing leads up to and runs into the whole, my explanation of biblical stuff. So I'll probably use that as my sponsor. My sponsor will be my other podcast. One podcast will sponsor the other podcast. That's going to work. Because, you know, that way I can bill myself $50,000 per advertisement each way, and then it all cancels out, except I have to pay taxes on it. Isn't that stupid? That's how ridiculous this is. So if I bill myself $50,000 and I bill myself from myself for $50,000, that's $100,000 in revenue that I got to pay taxes on, even though no money was changed. No money changed hands, but on the books, you know, it would say that that's, so I need to pay, you know, $7,000 in taxes because nothing happened because the government needs their cut. So Yeah, that's about all there is today. I'm gonna end it there because this show's getting long and I have work to do, and I want to really prepare for this afternoon's show because I really do want to. I want to try to do this live thing on. I'm gonna record it and I'm gonna post it on Rumble. That's my plan. I'm going to post the video on Rumble and see how it does on there, and we'll go from there. But it's going to be mostly about the whole thing I'm going to be talking about. Basically, is going to be what is going on with the current situation at the White House and the gun control thing. Hopefully, I can dig into that a little bit more. But since he's finally put it out, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more. That's usually a pretty popular topic, so hopefully that'll be a good topic to launch on. But who knows how, you know, whether or not I'll even talk about that, because sometimes I get started on a story, depending on what I'm drinking. I'll start off with, hey, I'm drinking peach tea, and the next thing you know, I'm talking about peaches in China. You just never know, because I'm sure I have an opinion on peaches in China. Speaking of peaches in China, I digress. So you never know where I'm going to go with this show. I don't either. I don't have show notes, really. Sometimes I have a few things jotted down. And without Rabbi Rick here to keep me in line, I just kind of ramble on and on. And apparently some of you enjoy that, because that's a lot of you listen to it. So you must be able to relate to my scattered sense of chaotic organization. That's what I call it. I have a scattered sense of chaotic organization. That's what we're going to call it. I should probably teach a class on that. A lot of it has to do with being, some of it has to do with ADD, but some of it also has to do with being something called a multipotentialite, which I am. I've figured out that I am a multipotentialite, and I think that kind of plays into some of the way that I communicate. If you want to, there's a TED Talk that's actually pretty good about it. Pretty good explanation of it. There's also some other things out there you can find, but I think the TED Talk talks about it, probably is the best introduction to what a multipotentialite is. Some people call them scanners, some people call them, there's a couple other different names, but it's basically, well, I'll let you find out for yourself. Do some research. I thought about actually starting a podcast about it at some point, because it's, I think there's a lot more people out there who are at least to some degree multipotentialites that don't even know they are multipotentialites. And it's very freeing when you find that out, because there's this thing about wanting to find a career, and that's going to be your career, and you're going to do that until you retire, and then you're going to be done. But that's not for everybody. In fact, I would say there's a large chunk of the population, probably not an overwhelming, not more than half, but I would say, you know, maybe 20% of the population has some degree of multipotentialite. So, you know, maybe that's you. In fact, I helped a couple guys. I did help one guy that had a YouTube channel. He was all over the place. I said, you know what? You might want to look at this. And he did. And he wrote me back and said, you know, this is going to change my life. And this guy is, he has skyrocketed now. In what he's doing in the world. So it's pretty cool to see that. Anyway, hey, God bless everybody. I'll be back this afternoon live.